Great morning, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Thank God for Monday. I'm Brother Greg Cellini of the Franciscan Brothers of Brooklyn and the Office of Mission, Ministry, and Interfaith Dialogue at St. Francis College in beautiful Brooklyn, New York. My great pleasure to be back again with you today. The purpose of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to inspire you, our audience, to take personal responsibility for your professional satisfaction. We want to provide you hope, healing, and peace in these unprecedented, turbulent, uncertain times, and motivate you to search deep inside yourself in the quest for fulfillment. Listeners, it's really up to you as I utilize the information we provide today, take full accountability for the decisions you make and a resulting outcome. And one of the goals of our show, Thank God for Monday, is to introduce role models of people who take very bold steps in their work lives. This is a very special time in our workplace and world, when understanding the role that money has in our lives has never been more important. And as such, we are honored today to have with us a very, very special guest. Her name is Jessica Weaver. She's also known as Not Your Father's Advisor. Jessica took a stance over a decade ago to find her voice in the male-dominated finance industry. She is a blogger, speaker, and the founder of the Pink Fix movement. The Pink Fix movement is a celebration of women and their wealth. Jessica helps them to channel their inner wealthy woman and shift into becoming a significant player in the money game. She is also a multiple-time best-selling author. Her latest book is entitled Confessions of a Money Queen: 10 Money Moves to Claim Your Power and Prosperity. Blessed morning and welcome to Thank God for Monday, Jessica.
Ah, thank you for having me. I'm going to say Brother Greg to start. I went to 9 years of Catholic school, so that Catholic in me.
Oh, that is terrific, certainly, and being here on beautiful WSOU, another wonderful Catholic institution, certainly. Kindly share with the listeners and me from what city and state you're speaking from today, please, Jessica.
Sure, I am in Morris County in New Jersey, kind of northwest of New Jersey. We call it apple picking country here. Lots of farms, apple farms, pumpkin picking, especially this time of year. And I am born and
Yes.
bred in New Jersey.
You've just made this host and the listeners very, very jealous. Morris County, a beautiful, beautiful part of the Garden State, certainly. Sadly, we've only got 30 minutes, Jessica. We could literally spend hours talking about you, your incredible background, this amazing book that you've written. We're going to jump right into the deep end of the pool.
Perfect. Sounds good.
I'm very curious. I'm sure the listeners are as well. What on earth brought you into the financial industry?
I was born into it, actually. My father has been an advisor for over 40 years, I think around 40 years by now. So I would be on our family room carpet stuffing envelopes for him when I was 8, 9 years old. I did summer internships at his office doing the filing, a lot of the paperwork. Even in college, I started to get licensed to be join his firm. I did different internships at similar firms on the insurance side as well. And then once I graduated in 2010, I dove right into studying. I got my Series 7 license, 6066, my life and health, started on the track to become a certified financial planner, which it feels like a master's degree in the financial world. It's about a 2-year in-depth commitment. You have to pass a 2-day written. Back then it was a 2-day written test. Now it's one day on the computer, but that really was I guess my mission. I grew up in it. I remember though too, Greg, when I was a little girl, I used to cry. I'm like, I never want to be involved in the stock market when I'm older. And why wouldn't you want to be? I go, because I'm sick of it dictating how many presents we get, or you can just see the emotional turmoil That happens. One, my father being a business owner, being the breadwinner, all the pressure on him. And then two, it's tied to the stock market. It's tied to tax law changes, estate law changes, security changes. It's the financial industry has gone through a lot of different seasons, a ton of change, and as we're experiencing now, a lot of volatility as well.
Wow, that's amazing. Certainly. I'm a recovering CPA. I worked in Big Pharma for 29 years before becoming a brother, so I had some letters after my name. Do I perceive, Jessica, maybe I didn't do this correctly. Do you have a few letters after your name as well?
Yes, I'm a certified financial planner and also certified divorce financial analyst. So I assist the women. I'm their advocate on the financial side as they're going through a bad divorce. And then afterwards, too, to set them up right when it comes to their money.
Wow. Oh, that is terrific. Certainly. Now, as we said in the introduction, you're also known as not your father's advisor. Tell us all about what differentiates Jessica from the typical financial advisor. What gives you this great competitive advantage that you have?
Sure. And it's becoming a little bit more prevalent. What I look at is not just what we're doing with your money. We call that the external wealth, right? Stocks, bonds, 401ks, retirement accounts, life insurance, but also on the internal wealth. Because no matter what, every one of you has a relationship with money, a good relationship, a bad relationship, one that you go MIA on, you avoid, you procrastinate, maybe a painful. And no matter what, there is a traumatic event that you went through growing up or you witnessed your parents going through. Maybe they fought about money. Maybe your house went through a foreclosure or money was just never even spoken about. So now it's this subject that you don't feel like you're worthy of being educated on or you shy away from. So there's a start to your story. Usually around the ages of 3 to 7 is where it begins. That's when we start to take in how we view the world. And then along the way, you're influenced by parents, teachers, friends, your boss, different people around you on this relationship with money. And it's going to dictate how you think, your beliefs about money, how you behave, right? Your beliefs are going to influence how you behave. And that's going to influence now your bank account, the external side. So we want to start the internal work first, and then we know we can complement it with the external. What's the right account, investment vehicle, whether it's stocks, bonds, mutual funds, life insurance, we can do all of that. But you will never feel wealthy or worthy enough until you fix the internal side.
Wow, this is absolutely amazing, certainly. And it's very interesting. This brings back memories. When I was in Big Pharma, I had a wonderful employee assistance counselor. And I'll never forget, she said to me about marriage and that there's two basic things that most couples fight about. One is communication, but the second is money.
I would say communication around money.
Communication.
Tie those two together, Greg, and you got a perfect storm there. Yes.
Oh, wow. Yes. So that's great that you're able to help people with all of this, certainly. Now, it's also interesting because I did a presentation recently, one of the classes, and being a Franciscan school, we talk about money a little bit differently in what we talk about contribution versus personal success and financial success. But it's very fascinating because one of the students pushed back and she said, you know, I want to earn a decent living. And of course we said, you know, there's nothing wrong with that and this and that, certainly. But we got into a few things from that vantage point as well. So really interesting that you're right, depending on where you've grown up, who your parents have been, et cetera, et cetera. And if I perceive correctly, Jessica, that sometimes even siblings in the same family could have a different viewpoint on money. I mean, is that true? Do you find that?
They could be polar opposite. I see that all the time. One's a saver, one's a spender. And what we found is usually based on what your parents do with money, you're going to model that or rebel against it. So that's how you can see that even though they grew up in the same household, they were completely opposite when it comes to money.
Wow.
And when you talk to parents now, you're learning back in the day, a parent would Their parents' style was the same no matter who what the kid was like. And as we're learning more and more that you really do need to parent differently depending on your child. You could have a very obedient child and you could have one that is a wild child and is always pushing the envelope. They're going to need a parent in very different ways, very different forms of love and support. We've also noticed a huge trend that one, money usually isn't spoken about in the home. So if it's not spoken about, now it's up to the children to kind of investigate and learn on their own, or they're just taking in different pieces of it from time to time. But especially when it comes to women, women weren't taught about money, right? A lot of the times it was geared towards the brother or the eldest child, and they were kind of forgotten about. So we know we have this huge pay gap when it comes to women. We earn right, 70 cents on the dollar, something around there. And that stems from this huge educational gap for women. And what we found is that if women aren't taught about money, they don't feel even worthy of the education. So if we don't feel worthy of the education, we're definitely not going to feel worthy of the money or to go and ask for a raise or negotiate for a higher salary. So to us, and this is at the Women's Wealth Boutique Hour, we have an all-female financial firm. That's our first focus, is getting education out there. It's why I've written 3 best-selling books. We have our 5th book that we published coming out in February of 2024, featuring 15 trailblazing women in the financial industry, because we need to get this education out there for women as much as possible.
Absolutely. I'm very happy to stay here, and thank God for Monday. We're committed to everything we can for women and equal rights and equal pay.
We appreciate that, Greg. Thank you. Thank you for it.
Certainly. One of the areas that I really want to talk with you about as well is this whole concept, and we just alluded to a little bit before, about God and finances. You seem to believe people can bring God into their finances more. Share with us all about this, please, Jessica.
Oh, of course. We've noticed the financial industry, and I just met with a new couple last night, and I asked them about, you know, how they feel about money. And it was, you know, scared, a lot of scarcity around it, not having enough. And I said, what if money was fun? And they go, I've never even thought that money could be fun or that it could be more of a game. But that's what's happened. There's so much fear in our industry. And you have these people preaching and almost scolding people because they didn't do right with the money. And it's not the people's fault. They didn't know any different.
Sure. Right?
It's the educational system, right? It's the background. That's why we try to be as forthcoming as we can when it comes to financial literacy and such. So we have to get that education out there as much as we can. And we want women, everyone, to know that money doesn't have to be scary. It doesn't have to be overwhelming. It's doable no matter what age or stage you are in life. And that when you think about scarcity, usually that's showing that there's a disconnect between you and God. If you don't say God, Lord, Savior, Divine, whatever term it is, there's usually a separation. And so why is there a separation? It's because you're trying to control something yourself instead of letting God step in and assist you. Is it because, I know we're not very patient people, are we, Greg?
In today's society,
we're trying to rush something instead of letting it happen in the most perfect of timing, which it always does. We know that. And there's usually a huge lack of trust, right? Trying to control something, trying to force it to happen quicker. There's a lack of trust. So where's that lack of trust coming from? And when you bring it back to God, you instantly feel connected to Him. You feel at ease. That trust comes back. And growing up in the financial industry, right, being in it for over a decade, to what I've noticed, the only thing that can really solve that problem is God.
Wow.
That peace of mind when it comes to money, that's where it comes from. And even though we're not where we want to be or where we're trying to achieve for, you still feel very grounded that you are in the right path. You're doing the right things, and there's a fulfillment that you can still pull into every single day as you live out. So to me, we can't really talk about money without bringing in God. I mean, we really made it kind of like money ministries. We made our firm, the Women's Wealth Boutique, a ministry when it comes to people's money.
Oh, that is so, so beautiful. How Franciscan that is, no doubt about that. Now, if I perceive correctly, and this kind of dovetails on what we just talked about, you've actually brought God into the work you do. And I know you just talked a little bit about that. Would you like to expand a little bit more even on that, please?
Of course, we do. We have a nationwide financial firm, the Women's Wealth Boutique, and we meet with our advisors on a regular basis, monthly, weekly. And to me, we're on the forefront of people's wealth. And we need to show up in a very abundant, expansive, connected way so that we can best serve our clients. We know there's that ripple effect. So yesterday we had a firm-wide meeting and we ended it with some internal work, right? What are we blocking? What are we trying to call in or fall into alignment with? What healing needs to happen? We'll do meditations. We do prayer work, even our own Confessions of a Money Queen, the book that we're talking about today, has prayers throughout it. It has money meditations within it. And we know we need to do the internal work, and that's going to reflect on our external abundance as well. And for a lot of people, it's finally helped them make sense of money and to almost forgive their past or forgive their parents so that they can move forward. And then we know that's just an exchange of love, and that's going to come back to us no matter what.
Sure, absolutely. I love what you just said, and it reminded me also of what someone said recently as far as timing, that God's timing is much slower than ours. So if we can have that patience. I don't know about you. For me, God's timing is much slower. I want it now, Jessica, certainly.
Instant gratification. I agree, Greg. It is very true. We do. It's hard. We set 5-year goals and we want to get them in 2 days. And if we don't, we get frustrated. But because it always happens so much better, more beautiful, perfect, at whatever word, than what we could ever imagine. And that does take time to set up. It's how many times too, Greg, that we're on a path and we should not be there. We know we're going down the wrong path, and God's finally saying, you know, if you don't make a different decision, I'm going to slam the door in your face. Whether it's a relationship, a career, money, it's like we are chasing something that really is in alignment with who we are. But maybe society told me I needed to have this or I should be doing this. So it could be faster, but we're getting in the way of ourselves.
I couldn't agree with you more. I know my 29 year in pharmaceuticals, I was chasing a lot of things that just wasn't who I am, but my bad, because I let society and other people really dictate and influence the paths I was taking, certainly, which I should have.
What a beautiful story to be able to share. Powerful story to share with others.
Thank you very, very much. One of the things that I love about this book, and that really, Jessica, you are such a master, or the queen at, if you will, is that you believe people can do something each day to build wealth. I want to share a couple of examples for us, please. What can we do each day maybe to build some wealth?
Yes. And in the book, Confessions of a Money Queen, we start on the internal work. And then as the book progresses, each chapter is a different money move or money strategy, you could say. And then we go towards the practical side. So I'll start on the internal side. Every morning, I drop my kids off at school at 8 o'clock. I get into my office and I need a moment for myself. And we forget about that. It's not being selfish. It's I need to show up for me. And by me showing up for me means I'm showing up for God. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I do the internal work. I do a meditation. I do journal work. I do prayers. I spend some time with myself, with God. And I love starting the day from such a grounded yet abundant place instead of just starting the day on emails, social media, right? That's allowing the day to tell me how it wants to go versus me telling the day how I want it to go.
Oh, wow.
And try to blast every single person that I'm going to meet with today, handle, help with love, right? If we can do that and just explode from that place of abundance and expansion and love and gratitude, it's going to completely shift your stress, your anxiety. It's going to feel like a massage on your nervous system.
Oh.
Well, and it raises your frequency to be that high performer that we set out to be. And then from there, it's also, you know, showing up for my money then. So I show up for myself, I show up for God, I show up for my money. And it's, how can we look at our money in a place of gratitude, even if it's not where we want it to be? But I had money to pay my bills. I had money to do my payroll. I had money to invest into my firm. I had money to get my kids' Halloween costumes.
Wow.
Doing gratitude. And when you do that, it's less scary to actually look at your accounts. And it's important to look at those accounts. We need to take a financial audit on a daily, weekly basis. What's happening with my money? Because when we avoid it, we're avoiding it for a reason. It's showing up as a painful, you're scared, you're fearful, and you're not taking control over it. So
wow.
Shifting that, doing a financial audit and tracking it. How is it progressing? Is it progressing because my behaviors, the markets are performing well? Is it going down because I'm pulling too much money out or the investments aren't doing well? Now we can make these changes along the way instead of having to make drastic life-altering changes down the road as we get closer to the goals. So it allows you, one, for it to feel more like a game. It gets the accountability behind there and the discipline, right? It's not so much motivation, it's that discipline to sit there and go through the work.
Wow, that is so, so empowering and wonderful. And I love what you said about how you begin the day once you drop the children off at school, that you take time for yourself and do the journaling and the meditation. Wow, that must really, as you say, ground you for whatever is going to come the rest of the day.
Yes, I like to run in the morning, and then I do this daily, my daily money practice. Without those, I feel chaotic. I feel like I'm all over the place. I'm getting pulled. And you really are allowing other people's energies and to influence you in how you show up versus coming up and, you know, this is my day. God gave it to me, right? This is a blessing. How do I want it to go? How do I want to show? How do I want to lead? And we have all of our advisors come back to that practice. When things feel out of control or you're stressing over something, how can you come back to that place? And we have one advisor, she's becoming certified in breath work, which is huge for anxiety, grief.
Wow.
And we have another advisor who is a yoga instructor. We have one who does poetry. So we have them doing different mediums of it, which is very cool. I mean, we could have a whole retreat, Greg, these different practices,
whoa,
journaling, writing, breath work, yoga, meditation. And I mean, that is part of our goals in the coming years to offer these to women as well.
Wow, this is so amazing, certainly. I know coming off of this 29-year career and coming to the brothers, they taught me about contemplation and journaling, two reflection tools that I try to still use on a daily basis. And they have changed my life radically. There's no question about that. But I never would have thought to tie it in into money, certainly, if you've done so amazingly. It's really just incredible, Jessica.
How long do you spend with the contemplation and the journaling, can I ask?
Please, certainly. I try to spend about 20 minutes in contemplation, total darkness, and then writing about one page. Kind of a letter to God, starting with gratitude. Then, do I have some challenges? Am I confused about anything? Am I angry about something? Because what I have found is when I came off this 29-year career, there was a little bit of anger built up. So the journaling and the contemplation, particularly the journaling, was really helpful to get that crapola, if you will, out so that I could be much more joyful and then make much greater contribution. As a result. So that's kind of a little bit of a regimen. I want to say regimen, but that's kind of what I do in the morning, sir.
That's beautiful. And I love that it's not that much time. When we think 15 minutes is 1% of our day, can we spend 1% of our day? And he said those different emotions come up. We've noticed that when we bring over an advisor from a different firm, sometimes it's a very toxic environment they're leaving. And you're true. There is that anger built up. There's resentment, bitterness. How can we not ignore those emotions, move through them to heal, and then show up differently. And then we're able to assist our clients when they're going like a divorce, right? That's going to bring up all sorts of those emotions. How can we help them move through it so that they show up differently for themselves, their money, their kids, God, family, everything? So very interesting, Greg. Thank you for sharing that.
Oh, thank you. What a beautiful ministry that you're undertaking there. No doubt about it. Sorry to say, we've only got about 5 minutes, but I still have a couple of important questions for you. I know you have two beautiful children. You talked before about children and money. How do you recommend talking with children about money, and what age do you start, please, Jessica?
Ooh, good question, Greg. I'll be quick. First, exactly what you said. Talk to them about money. It's as easy as that. Money is virtual for our kids. They don't see it. There's White Repair Babysitter with Venmo. We donate to the church online. Everything is virtual. So how can we make it something that they can grasp, whether my kids are 3 and 6, right? That they can see it. So they still, even though we donate online, they still put the money into the basket at church. We include them in, if we want to donate money, or my daughter, she just started, I'm going to bring some money to the church now. Include them in the conversations. Keep it positive and productive. Let them chime in. I even asked my daughter, how much do you think that house costs? And it could be $24, $240. But that's a way to grasp where they're at when it comes to money. And then you can build from there. Otherwise, we're talking right over their heads, So make it something that they can interact with, keep it positive, and I would say meet them where they're at as well for it.
So great, because when we think about it, and you really enlightened me today and inspired me and the listeners as well, Jessica, but money is such a critical component of all of our lives, even a Franciscan brother, but we all need to have money, and it plays a role in all of our lives. And to educate, as you are, children so young, to talk about it, make it a part of their lives. Wow, that's really, really important, certainly.
And then real quick, Greg, as they get older, then you can ask them, what kind of stock would they want to buy? And they might say, if they're into sports, Under Armour or McDonald's, right? Depending on where their activities are, their hobbies, their interests, gaming, things like that. Then they can open up their own little account with you, depending on their age. And as they get Christmas money, birthday money, graduation money, they can purchase shares of a company, and then they're learning how to track it. They're seeing how it fluctuates. Wow. And that's a huge hands-on exercise that they can do together to get them engaged. And what a confidence booster too. Now they have a 401k when they graduate, and this isn't my first time around this. I know what to do, or I have a better idea. I know it's going to move up and down.
That is really, really wonderful. I almost don't want to ask this question, because you've accomplished, Jessica, so much. You're still so young, but your accomplishments are amazing. What do you see next for the Money Queen?
Sure. So our podcast, Women Behind the Millions, is actually launching. I know this will come out in a little bit later, but it will be live by the time this comes out on the E360 network as a TV show. So it got picked up as a TV show. You can see it on Apple, Roku, Amazon Fire. We have that. We have our fifth book that we're publishing, Financial Trendsetters, featuring 15 incredible women in the industry. We are building out this whole media side of our business to complement our Women's Wealth Boutique. So publishing other female advisors' books. We have TV shows, podcasts. Because again, that literacy part is, there's a huge gap in the industry and even in the entertainment industry around this, especially for women. So that's going to be our big push to build that out and eventually have an advisor in every state. We have 7 or 8 states right now. We're onboarding our next one. So that's what we love to do.
What an incredible vision this is. You are a visionary, no question about it. We've saved the most important question for last, Jessica. How can our loyal listeners purchase Confessions of a Money Queen? How can they best follow you, please?
Ooh, perfect. So jessicaweaver.com. You can grab Confessions of a Money Queen, my other books. You can even grab a free copy of the audiobook of Confessions of a Money Queen, which is great with these many meditations in there and prayers that you get to listen to as you need. And you can follow us at Pink Fix My Money on Instagram or at Women's Wealth Boutique as well.
Wow. Listeners, no excuse. Plenty of ways to follow Jessica, plenty of places to get this great book, Confessions of a Money Queen, Jessica Weaver, Jessica, Jessica. It's holiday time. What better way to celebrate the holidays? Pick up one of these copies for yourself. It makes a great gift. Find others to give this great book to, please, please. Because as Jessica has been saying, we need more education about money in the workplace, in the world, young, old, it doesn't matter. Please, please pick up a couple of these, give them as gifts. You'll be better off. Those you give them to will be better off as well. Jessica Weaver, we can't thank you enough for coming on Thank God for Monday today. You know, you've enlightened us. You've really inspired us, really, to think about so much more the role of money in our lives, how God and money belong together, certainly. Continued success, joy, happiness, great contribution as you finish out the year and go into 2024. All the best with everything.
Oh, thank you so much, Brother Greg, for having me on Thank God for Monday. Thank you all.
The pleasure has been all ours. Listeners, guess what? Once again, we're out of time. Greg saying our hope and prayer is that when you wake up on Monday morning, just like Jessica does, you'll say, thank God for Monday. Until next week's episode, have a great week, everyone. Bye-bye.